I'm going to start off with reading Psalm 116 first, and then we'll dive into the Word. Psalm 116, I'll read it. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant, and I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay now my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. I want to read one verse towards the end of Revelation. You don't need to turn there. It's one of my favorite verses. We're going to be talking about new life this morning. And the verse that I'm reading is Revelation 21:5. It says, "And he sat upon the throne and said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Obviously, there's been a lot of things that have happened over the last week or so. The loss of our sister Debbie. It seems when I'm up here, she's always sitting right there next to Ralph, and now she's with the Lord, and we don't get to see her physically here. But one of the things that the Scripture does reveal to us is this new life that we can have if we just receive it. Obviously, this time of year, it seems to be a lot of talk about Christmas and the birth of our Savior. And I've heard a lot on the radio this week as I'm driving around, and as you may have as well. There seems to be a lot of angles that people take on the Christmas story. And rightfully so, there's a lot there to it. But there's one verse that stuck out at me when I was reading through the Christmas story. And we're going to touch upon that. One of the most important verses, actually, it's something that we touched upon this morning during the Lord's Supper. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 1, if we can. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus," which means the Lord saves. "For he shall save his people from their sins." This topic of sin entered my mind this week because, as Dan brought up, we need to face the Lord with our sins when we come to Christ, because once we realize who we are before the Lord, we know that we are sinners. Some people tend to deny this, so we're going to actually look at that topic of sin and how the Lord views this just as a refresher course. Most of you probably know what sins are, what the Lord detests, but I see it a lot with people when I deal with disease of the spine, let's say. People tend to not want to hear the bad news or something that's wrong with them. But obviously, as fallen human beings, we have a lot that we can say, some more than others, that there may be wrong with us. Now, dealing with the spine, I tend to notice that the best way to make people realize their problem is to show a picture, let's say, of an x-ray that's quote-unquote normal. And when you look at the normal x-ray and you put theirs in front of them, then they can see what the difference is. So as the Lord speaks about sin, we're going to read what the Lord says about that, and we're going to turn back into the Old Testament, into Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6. If you're unclear of what the Lord detests, it clearly outlines it right here in chapter 6, verse 16. There are six things that the Lord hate. No, seven are an abomination unto him. Now, I read this list. It reminds me of myself in a lot of ways at certain points in my life. Maybe you have some of these things that you tend to take part in. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devised wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. This is just a taste of some of the sins that the Lord detests. Let's jump ahead into Galatians chapter 5. My hope today is that the word that I read is going to stick within our hearts and our minds. I may say some things up here that are interesting, maybe not, probably not today. I don't feel so well. But the word that is spoken here in the scripture was long before I came into existence, and it's going to be there forever. So it's something that we should hold on to. So I try to focus on the word here most of all, and I know that sin can be not a popular subject, but the good news is I'm going to bring some good news into the message this morning. So we'll get to that eventually. Galatians chapter, let's see where we're at, chapter 5, verse 19. And once again, I look at this from my own perspective. I look at it like I'm looking in the mirror and see where I stand with regards to some of these things. And I only read this because of the verse that I read in Matthew, the fact that our Lord came as a child in the flesh to live a human life so that he could bear our sins eventually on the cross. So verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which means not normal sexual behavior, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The reason that is because God is so holy. He is the high, the one we worship, the one that created everything, the one that sent his Son, a spotless lamb, into this world to bear our sins. I'm going to back up into Luke. We're going to continue where Matthew left off last week. And we're going to fast forward through the life of Jesus to the actual end in Luke chapter 24. I'm going to read four verses. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witness of these things. This suffering reminded me of a verse actually not a verse, I take that back, a quote from a play that I've never seen, but this verse actually, sorry again, this quote reminds me of the suffering that Christ had to bear. I don't think we quite understand the full extent of his suffering. We were reminded of it this morning. But it's just a little thing that I read over the internet. It's from a play, Romeo and Juliet, and maybe you know what it means. I think it means something similar to this. It says, "He jests at scars who never felt a wound." And I think it has to do with the loss of love or something. I don't know. But it reminds me of a lot of people that you talk to, and you talk to them about the death of Christ and the suffering that he went through. And they don't seem to get it. They just don't understand the suffering that he had. Unless we've actually been wounded to some degree on our own behalf, we'll never understand what Christ went through on the cross. I'm going to jump into John now. This is where I want to kind of spend a little bit of time. Just a little taste of the life of Christ and an interaction that he had with Nicodemus. My goal this week, my prayer is this week that as we go through this holiday time and parties and family and celebrations, that we remember not only Christ's birth, his life, but his death as well. Because that's ultimately what saves us. The birth is just one step in that whole process. It says in first chapter of John that he always was. He was there at the beginning. This is just him coming in the flesh to fulfill a purpose for our behalf. So my goal is this week that somehow I can remind these people that are celebrating what the true meaning of Christ's life was. So let's jump into John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and like I said, there's a man, Nicodemus. Now, this Nicodemus, a little background about him, he's mentioned three times in the scriptures, as far as I know, at least in the New Testament here. He was a Jewish leader. He was a Pharisee, which means that he held tightly to the traditions of the time, of the Jewish traditions. So he came to Jesus. I'm not sure if seeking was the right word, but he came to him at night. Now, obviously, he probably did not want to be seen by his fellow cohorts that he was speaking to this Jesus, but the fact is he came to Jesus. So he's talking to Jesus here, and I'm going to read a couple verses, and then we'll explore a little bit about that. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou dost, except God be with him." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now this concept of being born again, we have the knowledge of the New Testament here. We can understand what this new life in Christ is all about. Being born again is critical for us because physically we're born once, and spiritually we're actually born dead. So we need to be a new creation, a new creature in Christ, and I'll get into more of that. But this reminded me of a bumper sticker I saw on this lady's car one time. It said, "Born right the first time," which I wasn't very pleased with what that said. On the other end of the bumper might have been a peace symbol or a Darwin sticker or something to that extent. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, maybe she was born right the first time, which we all know that she wasn't. But what about the person slamming on his brakes behind her, laying on his horn? Was that person born correct the first time? Or the person speeding by her, giving her the finger because she's doing whatever, was that person born right the first time? The Bible says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And there's none righteous, no, not one." So these people need to hear the gospel as well. They need to be, their ears need to be open to the truth. And we are commissioned to do that as well. So that's one of my goals, is that we are encouraged here today with the truth of this saving grace that the Lord has bestowed upon us. Let's continue back in this verse. So he's saying that we need to be born again. And Nicodemus is trying to rationalize this in the flesh, thinking, well, I'm already born once physically. What is this born again thing that you speak of? Jesus answered, okay, and Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He's laying more clues to this puzzle to Nicodemus. He's saying, there's a difference between the flesh that you speak of, that you cannot go back into a person and be born again, obviously, but you need to be born again spiritually. And he differentiates those two in this verse. He talks about the flesh and the spirit, but he also adds this thing about water. And this water subject has come up in the past, and I've heard different people, different whoever, speak of what this may mean. Some people say maybe this means baptism. I have to think that if the Lord meant baptism, he probably would have said baptism here. People have also said that this water is along with the birthing process, where when you are born, and the what comes before the person's physical birth is the water, and therefore that's what that means. And obviously, that's not the case, because that's the flesh, and he's differentiating between the flesh and the spirit. So what I tend to think it means is what it says in Ezekiel. So let's go back to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24. Should I get my right? Okay. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. It goes on to talk about this new heart that God will give them. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. It talks a lot about being unclean, which we touched upon this morning, about the sin that we should recognize in our lives, this uncleanness that we need to be washed from, this uncleanness that is detestable in the sight of the Lord, that we need to be born again by his Spirit. And that's ultimately where it comes from, is the Lord. It's nothing that we can do by whatever we do to get right with God. All we need to do is respond when we hear the gospel being preached, the truth of this scripture that the Lord brings in front of us, the truth that he brings in front of Nicodemus, who's trying to understand what's going on here. So let's continue back in John chapter 3. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. I don't know how much more plain you can get when you say that. I'm thinking, Nicodemus, I'm trying to understand what he's going through here, what he's trying to figure out here. This next verse is something that really sticks with me. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes from and whither it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. When I go out hunting, I tend to look at where the wind direction is going to be blowing, so the deer won't tell where I'm coming from. But I've noticed that it's not always right. It may say a northwest wind, so I'll set my stand accordingly, but sometimes the Lord will switch it on me, and I don't know where it comes from. I can feel it. I can almost see the effects of it, and that's how we are as Christians. We're supposed to go into the world and be like a wind so that people can see the Spirit within us, because obviously there's a difference here between the flesh and the Spirit. I want to go a little further into the gospel here in chapter 3, continuing on. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And then he goes on, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then the famous verse in John 3:16, which we should all know by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I talked about having new life this morning. This verse pretty much hits it right to the point. It says, whoever believeth in him should not perish. So whoever does not believe upon him, then they will perish. And that is due to our sin nature. That is due to the fallen creatures that we are by birth, by act, by deed, by thought, the very thing that we need to be saved from. So my goal is that if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus and you don't know him as your Savior, that you would come to him, that God would open your hearts and your minds to the truth. And I pray that this goes on this week as well, because it's sometimes we only have one shot at this. I think about the children this week that had to deal with this rampage, and you have all this stuff floating around about why this guy did this or whatever. It's very simple. Sin permeates everything that we have to deal with in life, the sickness that we deal with, the diseases that we deal with, the death physically that we deal with. But the good news is we can have new life. And the good thing about new life is it's new. I just recently bought a new car. And the first day I drove it off the lot, it was brand new. The next day, it's no longer brand new. And every day it gets older and older. But the scriptures say we can have new life. We're a new creation. Just think about what that means to us today. Think about what that means to us for eternity. I want to continue on a little bit further into this Nicodemus fellow. In John chapter 7, and the reason I'm looking at Nicodemus is because he's just an example of another person in Scripture, another person that we may meet in this life, a person that's maybe Jewish or holds to these Old Testament laws or doesn't at all. He's just another person that Jesus is speaking to. And we'll see the progression here of Nicodemus in chapter 7, verse 37. Let me make sure I get my... Okay, yes. John chapter 7, verse 37. Jesus is talking about this living water. That topic came up this week with a couple of the brothers and sisters in discussion about water and how it appears in the scripture. You'll be washed clean with this water from God, bubbling springs of new life, new water. Water permeates everything that we are physically. It's one of the most important things that we need to live by physically. And it's no surprise that the Lord uses this analogy for his spiritual well-being, for our spiritual well-being. I'm going to dive into chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke, he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus has not yet been glorified. We'll continue on. I'm going to read a few more verses until we get down to Nicodemus. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. In other words, nobody spoke like this Jesus has spoke before. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Then Nicodemus said unto them, He that came to Jesus by night, back in chapter 3, being one of them, doth our law judge any man? Before it hear him, and know what he does? They answered and said unto him, Art thou of Galilee? Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his home. And then we continued on this morning with Dan bringing us chapter 8. I want to continue on into a little further into John chapter 21. This ends the book of John. And we already touched upon the fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And here we have Nicodemus again showing up with Joseph to take the body of Jesus into the tomb. Let me see if I can find it here. Pardon me for just one moment here. I think it's actually chapter 19. Okay, 19, verse 38. 37. And again, another scripture said, They shall look on him who they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloe, about 100 pound weight. Now obviously at this point Jesus is about to be laid in the tomb, and he will rise again on the third day and have the defeat over the death that we all will face. So this story about Jesus coming to Nicodemus, speaking to him, and Nicodemus showing up in the life of Jesus just shows one specific person that has an interaction with our Lord. But this whole scripture that we have before us has a lot more interactions that we can read about. And one specific verse that I want to end with in a couple minutes. Most of the time when I read the scripture, I tend to see it from a specific angle. Everybody hears differently. So I pray that the word comes to you, not necessarily how I speak or what I'm going to be doing with my actions or my voice. But one of the things that the Lord has given me as a born-again believer is a gift of encouragement. And I just want to encourage all of you today with some of these scriptures to look upon not only ourselves, obviously, first and foremost, whether we have recognized the sin in our lives and the fact that we do need a Savior, that others that are out there have the same affliction that they need saving from, and that we could be salt and light, that we can be witness to the truth of God in their lives. So let's turn to Hebrews, and I just want to read some more scripture. I apologize for my mouth getting dry here. We're going to close actually with this reading of the scripture. I want everybody just to read and meditate upon these words. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. All our days are numbered physically. I just hope that we're all ready for the next chapter in our lives. There's been a few of us that we know that have passed on, absent from the body, present with the Lord, and that's one place I'm sure a lot of us just hope to be sooner rather than later. So I'm just going to close this in prayer, and then we'll finish up. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with a humble spirit, a contrite heart. We ask you to reveal yourself daily, hourly, even by the minute, through your word, through prayers that we can speak to you, that we thank you for sending your Son to this world, to this earth, to die on our behalf, to die for the sins, to shed his blood for the remission of sins that only that can wash away. And we just thank you for that. We are so grateful that we can gather in your name, pray, speak, and sing glories and glorify you and the Son that we worship this morning. And we just say these things, we pray these things in the name of our precious Lord Jesus. Amen.